Welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host, Amy Toy. I'm a psychic medium, radio show host, healer, and all that wonderful stuff, and soon-to-be YouTube channeler. Today, I have a great guest. His name is Miguel Dean. He has written a book called Bring Him Home, A Twin Flame Love Story. And Miguel has been, for the last 22 years, he has been an author, speaker, and catalyst, has been immersed in the twin path of healing and transformation, which can be summarized as an inner journey to heal his own wounds, facilitated and complemented by his service to others and passion for spiritually rooted social change. Welcome, Miguel. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm really good. I'm really good, Amy. Yeah. Today's, there seems to be a lot of interesting energy about at the minute, shall we say. And so, yeah, you know, it depends which moment you catch me on, whether I'm in a bit of a purging state or come out the other side and just feeling that wee bit lighter. And you have me in the lighter moment. So that's cool.
I know the feeling, and we've got some crazy energies this year for 2020 with here into astrology, the Pluto-Saturn conjunction. So it's been kind of crazy already, so I can understand. And you sound like you're sensitive like I am to energies as well.
Yeah. It's kind of like I find that, yeah, I'm sensitive. My body's sensitive what's going on. And, you know, I have to remind myself that there's a bigger picture and that it's not just me that's going a bit crazy, that, you know, that this stuff is collective, and it's all happening for our highest good.
Exactly. I'm not laughing at you. I was thinking the same thing. It's ironic because sometimes you're like, okay, why am I going through this? And you're like, it's for my soul growth. Okay. Just deal with it and ride it. So, yeah. So your book, Bring Him Home, A Twin Flame Love Story, what led you to write this book? And What led you there? I mean, it's interesting. Sometimes there's always a story behind the books that are channeled through us on the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I guess what sort of happened really, Amy, was it was a point where I'd kind of describe it as I was having a twin flame sabbatical, because it had all just been so intense, and we'd gone our separate ways thinking that it was all over. And the idea just found me, really. It was, you know, you need to write this story. You need to write this book. And you know, I'm having this conversation with myself going, really? You know, that's going to be a bit challenging, you know, to relive the beautiful moments and miss them and relive the painful moments and feel them, you know. So it was, it just felt like I couldn't not write it, and right. It didn't feel like I was given a choice. It was more this. I'm a really experiential learner, and authenticity and vulnerability are really key principles for, you know, the way that I live my life. And I just felt, okay, well, you know, if I can share this story, my experience is that there are always, you know, thousands, millions of other people having similar experiences, but there is shame and guilt and, you know, and all sorts of societal conditioning that says we can't possibly share, you know, we can't share our warts and all story because what will people think? But I know, you know, I know more than that. And so it was, this book can serve the collective. It can serve in the awakening of the sacred masculine. It can serve in giving a different slant on the truth of relationships and the honoring of the divine feminine through the amazing, beautiful body that is woman.
Yes. And I was thinking about that because I was looking over your website and everything, and how, it, you know, as a female growing up in a very contradictory household where I was shown one way and told another. And let me explain that. My mother was very strong-willed and said, you never rely on a man. But my grandmother taught me to cater to a man. So I got mixed up with relationships in the first 20, 30 years of my life. And just balancing that out. And, you know, because I'm a very independent personality. I have my own radio show. I have my own counseling practice. I do healing work. I do public speaking. I'm also a writer as well. And I can relate to you about channeling a story. They always have stories for me to write or blog. So it's like, okay, how can I balance all those traits out while being in a healthy relationship? And that's what I think your book is about, how to balance that out. That's what my perception is of your story thus far.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I really appreciate you just sharing what you shared because, yeah, you know, again, it sounds like the phrase that I use is that we're all living different versions of the same story. And, you know, what you've just shared about the conflicting messages as you were growing up and the challenges with relationships, that's totally my story as well, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and then when I got into my 40s, I had been in a marriage for 6 years that was just totally dysfunctional. And then I moved down to Florida and then I met someone who was a little younger than me. I was thinking back to this stuff, by the way. It was weird. It just brought up stuff to share with our audience because I think personal experience and story can help others. I met a young gentleman who was a little younger, about 4 years younger than myself. And we had, he really taught me freedom in a sense of myself, to be myself and really own who I was, my authentic self. So it was one of the best relationships. It was one of the most turbulent relationships I ever had. But I learned a lot being with him for 2 years.
Yeah, I can so relate to that. I mean, that was my experience as well with, you know, I call that a twin flame relationship. It's where, you know, everything is catalyzed and there's some, you know, intense purging and you know, because it just seems to me that the truth about relationships is that they are an amazing vehicle to bring us home to ourselves. It's ultimately about the relationship with ourselves and healing those fragmented parts and those, you know, deleting those self-limiting beliefs and those old programs that we've inherited, usually, you know, generationally, from generations that have been passed down over and over. And it seems that our generation, as we incarnated in this lifetime as an opportunity to say, no, it stops here. This dysfunctional beliefs and situation between man and woman, it stops here. We have to do things differently for the sake of our children and the sake of the planet and the sake of everything, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are redefining relationships. I mean, I've been single now for 2.5 years since I had walked away from that, you know, 2-year relationship with that gentleman. And, you know, I'm not afraid to be alone, but I'd like a partnership, a healthy partnership. That's my divine desire is, you know, to have that. And I think that, I think hopefully I've learned to balance that at this age, if not more so. So I don't know if you found that to be your experience, but that's where I'm at with everything personally.
Yeah, I can relate to that, Amy. I've just come to a similar place, really, where I feel so much more complete unto myself, and I don't need, you know, a relationship with somebody else to, you know, to make me feel whole and for me to be okay with, you know, moving through life. It seems that a relationship with another, you know, becomes the icing on the cake. It becomes something added, but there is no sense of codependency or neediness anymore.
I totally relate to that. So what is your definition of a conscious relationship?
I would say that a conscious relationship is one that I've just mentioned that both parties realize that the purpose of the relationship is to bring them home to themselves. It's ultimately about our relationship with ourselves, because, you know, the old adage that you can only love another to the extent that to which you love yourself. And sometimes it's helpful, I think, to replace the word love there with just accept that we can just fully, we can only accept and embrace another to the extent that we can fully embrace and accept all aspects of ourselves, you know, warts and all, that our imperfections, our neuroses, and, you know, and the wounds that we've perhaps carried or inherited as well. And so part of that conscious relationship is that there needs to be a powerful sense of responsibility for our own feelings, and knowing that when the other triggers us, it is a gift and an opportunity to ask ourselves, what is it within me that is unsettled, that dislikes that behavior? Because it's always about it's not about what they're doing, it's about the emotions that are elicited, you know, and that we associate with the actions that have happened. So, you know, strong sense of responsibility, a realization that it's about coming home to ourselves, and you know, honoring each other, and honoring the spiritual aspect of the relationship, really, the inner union of the masculine and feminine within the hearts of both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I found with my clients when I do sessions, you know, they're always trying to change the other person or fix the other person.
Yeah,
I know. You laugh at that. I laugh at that too. But, you know, my callers or my clients will say, but, you know, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to make him see it my way. And I'm like, stop trying to change him. He's going to resent you for it. You can only fix yourself. Look at yourself, please. That drives me nuts. It really does. Absolutely. And I pray to God every day for patience.
We've been taught that, though, haven't we? That message has been so instilled in us in so many ways that if something, you know, in order, the world teaches us that in order to be happy, that happiness is out there. We have to have a better job or a different partner or more money or a different house or live somewhere else. We're taught that happiness is an external phenomena. Mm. So, you know, it takes, you know, some real courage to keep and perseverance and resilience to keep bringing the awareness back inside myself, you know, that change is always an inside job, isn't it? When I change and I change my responses or, you know, or my reactions, then the other changes as well. You know, the whole dynamic changes.
Exactly. Instead of reacting, I'm interacting with myself, not reacting outside the problem or reacting to the person. I've got to interact within myself. And that's a lesson that I had to learn. I had to learn to react differently to this. Like I said, the last relationship I had, he was interesting. I'll just say it that way. He was interesting.
And it
was how I was reacting to him, and it was a process. And I had learned how to react with it to him without driving myself crazy, because I used to be like so angry, and I'm like, why doesn't he just see this? I'm telling him straight out. What is he, stupid? No, he just chose not to get it. It's just that way.
Oh, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Because you could be just totally sharing my story, and so we know, you know, that this is the same reality for millions of people. And it does, you know, I would find myself, because I'm not in relationship. The woman who, you know, that features in the book, my twin flame, we decided to go our separate ways eventually. But, you know, there were times when, I was just kind of engulfed in this sort of emotion and this anger, this frustration. And then that would kind of like dissolve, and it would be more like, you know, the sacred masculine, if you like, would be sort of going, oh, my God, what was all that about? You got lost in that whole drama and that whole ego thing again. It's like to keep switching from one to the other until eventually we can just live from that higher place more and more.
Yes, and I was just talking to a friend of mine about this yesterday that, you know, getting involved in a relationship for me, I want to keep who I've learned, who I've become. And I don't want to lose that. It's one of my greatest fears. I'm going to get lost in this relationship. But, my, you know, I have faith, though, in myself that I'll be okay and I'll have to draw boundaries because I did learn a lot. I did learn a lot with that last relationship especially. That was the turning point in my life.
Yeah. That, you see, that's how I define the success of a relationship. I believe the success of a relationship is not determined by the longevity of it, but by living together happily ever after. Mm-hmm. The success of a relationship is based on how much we learn, how much we grow, how much we transform ourselves, and that that really is the nub, the really important diamond that is mm-hmm. potentially there, you know, in every relationship. So as long mm-hmm. as we learn and grow and heal and come home to ourselves, then every relationship has been successful. You know, I think we've been given such tiny morsels of useful information mm-hmm. about the truth of relationships. Mm-hmm. It's just not generally out there what the truth of it is, and we think it's supposed to be like a Hollywood movie, or mm-hmm. We're not guided and given the information and about what's really going on, and just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean mm-hmm. that something positive isn't happening, you know. Not to say that you have to stay in something that's violent or incredibly uncomfortable forever. It's always okay to step away. This is the bit that really came home for me at the end of my last relationship, was love never leaves. We are led to believe that love will, it comes from that one other romantic connection, and the truth is that we are love, and that mm-hmm. as we uncover and release the trauma and the old conditioning and so on, and we come home to ourselves mm-hmm. and find that divine union, we realize that we are love and we have access to love all the time. It is just a mm-hmm. state of being. It's a way of living, rather than, oh my God, you know, if this relationship ends, there will be no more love. Love will be withdrawn, and it creates so much fear when we have to put all our eggs in one basket in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was taught, if you don't, like I said, I got conflicting messages. Well, you need a man to complete you. No, I don't. I complete myself. A man enhances my life, not to takes away or deters from it. And I think that's what a challenge for a lot of people. We help, you and I both, maybe, through your, I looked at your website and you have some podcasts, and I encourage people to check out Miguel's website, MiguelDean@.net, which I will post. And with this interview, there's some links to his work. And that maybe help people on this path of finding themselves to a healthier space and a healthy relationship, eventually a balanced one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I call my one-to-one sessions sacred masculine healing sessions. Mm-hmm. And what I find is the majority of people that come to me are actually women. And they would mm-hmm. they come because they're kind of like drawn by a cleaner, clearer energy, and to be held in that kind of what I call sacred masculine energy, where there is strength and there is softness and there are boundaries, and it's an mm-hmm. experience with a man that doesn't want anything from them. I am just there for them, to hold space, to be there for mm-hmm. them. And for most of the women that I work with have had, horrendous experiences with men. And so, there's this strong pull to, there must be more than this, and surely I can do this better. And how do I rebuild my trust with men?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, with rebuilding your trust with men is rebuilding trust with yourself and your judgments, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is, it's that thing of, when we nurture and grow our own masculine within ourselves, because then things change, because the men that we attract into our lives, let me put this a slightly different way, just to give it a real life example instead of talking metaphorically. For me, you know, my mom died when I was little. My stepmom was angry and abusive and violent. So I had very little experience of the soft, loving feminine. And any loving, soft feminine that I did have, you know, died and abandoned me and left very suddenly. So I was attracting women into my life that were, replicating, that would replicate those scenarios, really, of shutting down or physically leaving or being ambivalent, not being emotionally available, until I started to really work on my own feminine and learn to mother myself and learn to access the divine feminine energy that is within me and find some healthy, wholesome balance between the masculine and feminine energy that resides within me.
And it is a balance. Sometimes we're so out of balance we don't even realize it. Sometimes you're the female acting like the male in the relationship and vice versa. And finding that balance, I think, is challenging. Like I said, I do a lot of readings with clients, and it just, the things I've seen over the years, I'm like, oh my God, God help me. I don't want to go through that. Especially what some of these women put themselves through. Obsessive need to be in a relationship. When am I going to meet the one? Well, yes. There's many ones. in my opinion.
And you are the one. You know, it's that we are the one. When we fall in love with ourselves, then we can fall in love with everybody, and not necessarily in a romantic way. I think in so many ways, society, humanity, we have to go through a massive shift if the species is to survive, really. And it just seems to me that relationships are at the foundation of all of that, really.
Well, it is. It really is. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Everything in life is about relationship, isn't it? Relationship with ourselves, relationship with others. The cells in our bodies are all in relationship with each other. We're in relationship with the planets and the universe. And we're not separate ego puppets wandering around in flesh human suits. We're all interconnected. We're all in relationship with everything. And when we find that balance and we return to that sacred way of living, then the new earth is born, and then we're living in heaven on earth. That's my belief.
I agree with you. I just, I've had glimpses of it with the last couple of years dating individuals. I mean, nothing serious. But I like, the universe is, showing me a buffet of things. Like, what do you like about this person? What do you like about that person? What do you like about this? And I really learned to kind of, I don't want to say build in my mind characteristics, but I kind of did. And, I think I got it. I don't know about you, but that's my feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an ongoing learning process, isn't it? And I guess in a lot of ways as well, it's an unlearning process. It seems to me that the more I unlearn, the more I allow, the old to fall away, the old stories and so on, the more love is actually revealed. It's there all the time. We're at the center of us. But we've been taught to look in all the wrong places. We're looking outside. Mm-hmm. We're looking at somebody else. But it takes courage. It takes tremendous courage to look inside yourself, because, as my book, Bring Him Home, tells the story of that, when I made that decision because of the this deep love that I felt for this woman, that I want this relationship to work, I had to make the journey from my head back to my heart. And my heart, and usually when we go back to our feeling center, the first thing that we encounter is all the trauma and the unexpressed feelings and emotions that, you know, that we couldn't feel and release at the time that the trauma actually took place, usually during our childhood, you know. So it takes courage. It takes great courage, and it's not, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, I did it, you know, I did it for I suppose, adult relationships for a good, you know, 25 years, where I was looking outside. It must be the next one. It's like, please don't make me go to those dark places within myself. Please, please, please. And eventually it was like, okay, I get it. I can't run from myself anymore. I will do the work. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, bang, the universe brought this woman into my life who could facilitate the, you know, trauma, you know, every single little piece of trauma, every shadow that was within me, bring to the surface for me to take responsibility for and transform. But, you know, I mean, you know, you don't tend to hear about this sort of work in the mainstream Hollywood movies and so on, do you?
No, you don't. You know, we have to take a break, Miguel. And Miguel, we're talking with Miguel Dean, and his book is Bring Him Home, A Twin Flame Love Story. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com, or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only.
Okay, we're back with Miguel Dean, Bring Him Home, A Twin Flame Love Story. That is his book, and it's an awesome book if anyone wants to pick it up. It is on Amazon. I got it on my Kindle, by the way. It was on my Kindle. So, okay. Miguel, yes, we were talking before the break about looking within and looking at those traumas and all those things. Did you find that once you started looking within, it was kind of like, after a while, this is not so bad for me? I don't know, but that was my experience. It was like, oh, this is not so bad. It sucked before I did it, but it kind of freed me in a lot of ways once I started doing the work. What was your experience?
Yes, I can agree with that to a certain extent. I think our mind, you know, the egoic mind doesn't want us to go within because it doesn't really want us to be free. Because it, you know, it feels that it will lose control, and that you know that it's kind of like a overprotective parent, you know, saying, oh no, don't go there, don't go there, it will be uncomfortable. Let's just carry on doing, you know, the way we've been doing it, and let's continue with the strategies that we adopted usually when you were a child or whatever, you know, unconsciously, just to survive trauma. But it's like, no, the trauma's not there anymore. You know, my stepmother isn't, you know, beating me anymore. My mother isn't going to die on me anymore. So we're in a completely different place now. So there's always that initial resistance. But at the same time, you know, I call it the fire of love. You know, sometimes there were times when I had stepped into the fire of love, when usually when my twin flame left and triggered that sort of mother abandonment, you know, bereavement thing for me. And it was incredibly, you know, I kind of regressed really to this really wounded little child. And what made it so much easier for me, what I began to master, was just to feel the feelings that without any negatives, you know, critical commentary running in my mind, just to stay with the feelings that were happening in the body, because those feelings just wanted to be released. They just needed to be felt. So as I've got better at that, you know, then because what tends to happen is, especially for as a man, I'm feeling broken, I'm feeling vulnerable, I'm feeling pathetic, and we shame and blame, you know, and criticize ourselves and think, you know, that there's something wrong with us. But when we can let go of those thoughts and just feel the feelings, it all passes and transforms so much more quickly than when we're perpetuating those feelings by our negative, you know, commentary that's running in our minds.
Yeah, men are more logical than women. Women obviously tend to be in their emotions. It was easier for me once I stepped into that really uncomfortable place for me, just to feel, well, I was taught growing up not to cry. You know, you're too sensitive. Stop crying, you know, or I'll give you something to cry about, as my dad used to say.
Yes.
When I look at that, you know, I was like, now it's easier to cry, but for years I held a lot of things in. And I drank because of it, too. So, you know, we tend to anesthetize or numb our feelings in so many ways. But once we start thawing that out, that frozen part of ourselves, God help us all. At least for me, the floodgate came open, and I was afraid of losing control, and that's probably was my ego. But I felt better afterwards. I was exhausted, but I let all that, a lot of stuff go.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting, Amy, and I really appreciate your openness and so on as well, because, you know, we could be talking about the same story. You know, there's so many similarities between your story and mine, even to the, you know, my stepmom saying, I'll give you something to cry about. And, you know, all that stuff of, we're not, you know, we have this full spectrum of emotions, from, you know, total bliss and joy to real pain and grief and sadness. And we are taught by society to deny what are called the negative emotions and not to feel them. And through doing that, you know, we cut off our connection with life. We block our, you know, we unplug ourselves from source, if you like, you know, because you should say it's all blocked, it's all numbed out, it's all frozen.
Yeah.
So when we can start feeling again, you know, our feelings, I think of my feelings that they're an inner compass. They're my inner guidance system, you know, that they're so valuable. But we have to be connected to our hearts in order to feel that stuff, and, you know, and find balance between our minds and our hearts. Otherwise, you know, when anything's out of balance, it's all going to go wrong, isn't it? And we end up compensating, you know, externally, you know, through drugs or overworking or porn, or, you know, the myriad addictions which are almost encouraged, you know, in our modern society, as, you know, do anything but don't feel, don't be with yourself. It's crazy, really.
It is crazy. It's something where sometimes we're not even conscious of. And so one of the questions I have for you, too, is what is the difference between a conscious and an unconscious relationship?
Yeah, I think you know, I've said a little bit about how my understanding of a conscious relationship. So, yeah, the unconscious relationship is really, I guess, the primary thing. You've alluded to it as well, you know, is when we're looking outside and blaming the other person. And, you know, when we think that the purpose is for them to complete us and for them to make us happy and for them to make us feel good, then, you know, that's an unconscious relationship. And I think that's pretty much the norm, or people just settle for what, you know, what I call the scraps from the table, that you know, maybe they're in relationship, they might have been married for ages, but they don't really connect, you know, they're living on the surface, they're both busy, they pass like ships in the night, they do their own thing, and, you know, it's like there are so many distractions, and, you know, it's kind of like just going through the motions of connection and intimacy, mm-hmm. when really the potential depth of intimacy and connection through relationship can bring us back into relationship with the divine. And mm-hmm. you know, it's there are so many more deeper levels, and mm-hmm. you know, and we just settle for the scraps from the table because we don't know that mm-hmm. there is more potential if we are willing to get intimate and real with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I said, that last relationship I had 10 years of sobriety. I've been in recovery. And when I moved down here, I had like 4 or 5 or something like that down in Florida from New York. And I met mm-hmm. this guy. I met him, the one I was involved with for 2 years. And I remember feeling a lot of emotions, something I think I haven't felt in years since I was a 17-year-old involved with my first boyfriend. And just feeling the depth of emotions being with him scared the hell out of me. It did. It just really was, because it was so intimate. It was so deep. The heart was so deep with them, you know, with him. Like I said, not since I had one, since I was 17. So, I mean, I don't know if you've experienced that, but that's how it felt to me. It was like, ooh, this is scary. I didn't like it. It really touched my soul. It felt right to me at the time.
Yeah. It's unfamiliar territory, isn't it, when we first find ourselves in those places. And it does feel like, I'm going to lose control, or the ego feels it's going to lose control, which is terrifying.
Yes, it was extremely terrifying. And I thought there were some days I'm just like, I wanted to walk away and just run for the hills, because that's my modus operandi. But after a while, as I got settled into it, it taught me what I needed to be taught. But it was a very deep relationship, like my first boyfriend when I was 17. So that's just interesting how, if it feels strong and all that, it's strange. And so
there's a great line from we give Trevor Hall. I don't know if you're familiar with his music, but there's a great line in one of his songs, or a couple of lines, where he says, you know, you can't rush your healing. Darkness also has its teaching. And that, you know, I think that's really powerful, and that's, you know, just so important, you know. But we're taught to avoid the darkness, you know. If it's challenging, if it's dark, if it's scary, we're told to, you know, as you say, you know, run away, anesthetize it, distract yourself, don't go there. But actually, that, you know, there is so much, you know, it's like a baby is born from the darkness of the womb, isn't it? You know, all life arises from the darkness, from the void, if you like, if we're going to sort of, you know, get a little bit cosmic. And so, you know, healing arises from the darkness. We have to be able to stay in those dark, uncomfortable places in order to reveal the light. Otherwise, we're just living in a gray shadow land kind of place, you know?
Mm-hmm. I tell my clients, feel it to heal it, feel it. And I tell myself sometimes that too, because my default is still to not want to feel it. But I make myself feel it, because I'm like, okay, this is for my highest and best good here. Come on, Amy, just do it. And I feel so much better afterwards. Or sometimes just acknowledging those fears of, okay, I'm afraid of taking my independence away, or my self that I've gained, my authentic self, or whatever fear you're working through at the time. So
it's okay. It's part of that being kind to ourselves, isn't it? And sort of and allowing ourselves to fall apart, and trusting that sometimes things have to fall apart to be put back together in a more beautiful, you know, wholesome, healthy way. Falling apart, you know, is part of the process quite often, and it does take courage to go there. And, you know, because as we've said, it's so deeply programmed into us to avoid those places, whereas actually, you know, in the the darkest places, you know, within ourselves, the places where we most fear to go, those are the places where our treasure and freedom lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, acknowledging the dark parts or the shadow parts of ourselves, I've learned, is okay. They are part of who you are. You accept that. That's the first thing I've learned. and acknowledging them, and just, you know, you're not a bad person, because there's duality in the universe of good and bad, or darkness and light. And so that duality resides in with all of us as well. So it's accepting that. I think it's just acceptance, which is the hardest part for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Acceptance is such powerful medicine. It is so powerful. Yeah. And, you know, the alchemy then happens in the acceptance. When you accept the dark and the light, then the darkness kind of recedes. You know, we bring ourselves, we're kind of born into a completely different space, into a different place. It's not to push it away. It's, you know, it's like the, you know, if there's something angry and there's something violent and there's something, you know, aggressive, to try and fight it, it just brings, you know, uses so much energy and there's so much conflict, and it's probably going to go on forever, you know, this way and that way. Whereas if we look beneath the fear and the anger and the violence, or however it's playing out, you know, there's always an unmet need. There's something that just wants to be loved, something that wants to be accepted. And that's how we, you know, that's how we transform and move beyond, you know, those places.
Exactly, because you can transform it for your own benefit, in my experience. And once you learn to work with it, I think it's just working, like you said, acknowledging that place that needs to be loved. It helps. It really does. It's not this path, though, is not for the faint of heart. I always tell that to my listeners. This path that we're on is not for the faint of heart, but it's worth it in the end. Maybe that's, you know, you're going to get fulfillment in other ways and find that divine relationship that you're meant to be in. So, I mean, it just, you have to change your perception on things, I think.
Yes, yeah, totally, yeah. It's like looking through a completely different lens, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I, you know, I know that I'm on a journey. You know, I never say, you know, I've arrived or I'm there or anything. And but I, you know, I am having glimpses of, you know, I think when you say it's worth it, I don't think we actually can comprehend how worth it can be, because if we choose to keep walking this path, you know, and keep working and on this divine union within ourselves, coming home to ourselves, you know, I think it's you know, we're talking about what the mystics allude to, really, you know, of total bliss states, and, you know, just living from a completely different awareness, where we are fully at peace with ourselves, life. Not to say that we still don't see the ugly as well as the beautiful, but we are, you know, we are not pulled this way and that like a puppet on a string. You know, we have the agency within ourselves, and we live life from a still point, you know, at our core, which is love.
It is, and you know, no matter what's going on around you, you are the calm in the storm, in the eye of the storm. And I think when you learn that, which is a difficult lesson to learn, I'm not saying it's easy, then you can really appreciate, okay, whatever's going on around me, is this too shall pass. That's what my mother used to say. And it's temporary, but it's also, it always works its way out. It's only a blip in the radar, on the divine's radar. So. Especially when you're going through troubles and relationships, you know, I used to think, oh my God, is this going to end? Please God, let this end. And then it would, and the sun would come out after the rain and the rainbows. We have rainbows down here in Florida, sometimes double rainbows. And you're like, okay, you know, I took a picture of one. And it reminded me that there's always a rainbow after the storm.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sound poetic, but that's what I do.
If we can keep reminding ourselves, you know, and deepening the belief, which I have, that everything happens for my highest good, you know, and if it's uncomfortable, it's only uncomfortable because it's purging, because it's clearing, because it's letting go of some of that which is not love that still resides within me because of my, you know, previous experiences. Mm-hmm. Love never leaves, you know. Love is mm-hmm. always there. And mm-hmm. we are here, I believe, you know, on this earth school for the evolution of our souls. And so everything that mm-hmm. happens, if it's uncomfortable, it's just either old stuff releasing and purging, or it's our inner guidance system saying, no, you're moving in the wrong direction, or you're doing the wrong things. If it's generating those feelings, then do something differently.
Exactly, because every moment you have a choice to do something differently. Every mm-hmm. moment it gives you that opportunity. We don't have to just stay in it. I mean, my parents lived in had a 40-year-old marriage that was horrible. I used to beg them when I was a teenager, would you please divorce each other? You're driving me crazy. You hate each other. Yeah. And my parents would look at me like, what? You know, that's the kind of example I grew up in. And my dad, before he passed away in 2013, he said to me, I should have listened to you and, you know, been happier. So from that example, you know, we can learn from others, but it's just amazing how we can redefine our own definition of relationships, and he helped me with that. So did my grandfather, too, especially the male side. They were interesting, those cast of characters. But is there any final thoughts before we end the show, Miguel, that you want to tell our audience?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, if you're struggling with the relationship, you're not alone. You know, yeah. I think that's a really big thing. It's not your fault. It's not just about you. It's not necessarily that there's something wrong with you. We have been, you know, we've all had such a, it's like, you know, we've been, you know, starting out on the relationship journey with both legs and arms tied behind our backs and, you know, and a load of rubbish in a rucksack on our backs to, you know, to pull as well. It's not your fault. If you're struggling, it's not your fault, but you have the power within yourself. You have the agency, you have the skills, you have the resources to, if you dare to look within and make that journey, then the journey back home to yourself and to focus on the journey with yourself, then, you know, amazing things can happen. And it's the journey. The journey is the destination. You know, we grow and evolve mm-hmm. and we become through going through the challenges and through going through the difficult things. And you know, and I'd love any listeners that resonate with, you know, our conversation to connect with me on Facebook, Miguel Dean, Sacred Masculine. And I'm hosting sort of telewebinar events and all sorts of different stuff. You know, I want to share, but what I share is my experience because I've mm-hmm. had, you know, had a challenging ride to go from so much pain and trauma around relationship mm-hmm. to be able to heal that. It gives reason, it gives value to it. If my pain and my experiences I can share so that perhaps others don't have to go through quite as mm-hmm. much as I in my trial and error kind of experiential way of moving through life.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's why I do this show. That's why I, you know, do the messages that I do to tell people there's a different way, because it was so freeing for me to be told that I had a different choice. And I'm like, it never occurred to me I had choices. And I think that was so empowering and so freeing. So that's my message, is to look up Miguel. He's got a book out, which, like I said, is entitled Bring Him Home, A Twin Flame Love Story. His website, tell people where your website is again, Miguel.
The website is just Miguel Dean, miguel dean.net. Yeah, and you can contact me on there, and there's all sorts of free resources and information mm-hmm. and on there. Yeah, I love to hear from people. You know, I guess it's what inspires us, isn't it, you know, to continue doing the work, because I'm sure mm-hmm. you know, Amy, it's not like we're all you know, Mr. and Mrs. sorted. We have our up days and down days and times when we're struggling mm-hmm. and when we hear from, you know, the people out there that are benefiting or getting something from our work, it gives us the determination to keep going, and it reminds us, yes, you know, I am on the right path, and what I am doing is of value, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now what I had gone through is the trauma that I had experienced through my life. It's like, oh, I went through it for a reason, maybe to help, for, you know, not only myself, but other people. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Have you written a book about your story?
Not yet. No. That's on my list of things. I've got a lot of books to write. I've got a lot of books.
Awesome. Good. Well, I wish you all the best with your book writing.
Well, Miguel, it was a pleasure having you on today. It was a very wonderful conversation, since we have, you know, others out there that need our help. So thank you for coming on. And if you write another book, you're always welcome to be on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amy. Yeah. Thank you for the work that you're doing and for the invitation. Love and blessings to you and to everybody that might hear this conversation that we've shared. Thank you.
Thank you. And my name is Amy Toy, and I'm the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. And once again, may the angels carry you through the next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Look up high.